our kind of underlying goal. So I think we'll go around right now and introduce everybody. And if you are a person today who has a responsibility position here at the garden, please pick that off. And then we'll go through some quick updates and we'll get right down to the meat and potatoes. I would like to welcome our guests from the Brooklyn Community Plant Trust, Demetra Snow, Irene Van Slyke. Dorothy Mills are here from the I haven't met you yet. I didn't meet you at the first go around.
No, I was waiting.
Okay, thanks. Okay, sorry about that. So we'll start here with
Hi everyone, Virginia. I'm the co-coordinator and master gardener.
Johanna, I think, will be here in a bit.
And Dinky Thomas.
Yeah, with the information.
And when I retired, I also said,
she knows
your
name,
too, so,
sorry. I'm aware of the communication.
Morgan, thank you for farming concrete.
I'm the liaison to farming concrete. That's the one where we're measuring food production. So if any of y'all are going food out here, sign up this year. I brought the report with everyone's logs from last year. If you did it, they're there, the original form. And if anyone wants to read how much food we grew last year, there it is.
Yay. Right on. Yay,
very cool.
Very cool, bro.
And I'm Tracy Nottingham, Secretary Orientation in National Gardener.
Francis, would you like to introduce yourself to everybody? Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm Francis. I've
been in the garden for over 10 years, so I'm still around. So our first order of business today is to ratify last meeting's minutes so that we can enter them into our permanent record, which is accessible on our website by anyone at hcfarms.org. So we've all had time to review the minutes from the last meeting. They've been posted. Have you posted them yet? Yes? They've been posted?
They were posted a month ago.
Okay, so I make a motion to ratify last meeting's minutes.
Second
that. All in favor? Certain garden projects that are going on and some recaps of garden projects that have occurred. So very quickly I will give a brief recap of the video shoot that occurred here and segue that into a very quick treasurer's report. So anyway, the Roots came and did a video shoot here and it was all rosy and good, but then when the video came out, suddenly it was a Honda hybrid commercial. So there was a bit of misrepresentation on their part. What a surprise, I know. Anyway, I haven't seen it. I heard it's kind of cool, but the upshot of it is that finding out that information, we lobbied hard with the production company and upped their donation to $1,000. So we are $1,000 richer, which I think puts us about $3,200 in the bank. So I think it's a good time at the next meeting when we'll have some more time for garden stuff for all of us to come up with some great projects so we can get this money back into the circulation and see what we can grow here in the neighborhood. Anyway, so that's the treasury report and that. Mara, do you have anything to add about planting concrete? Additional information out there as to why we should exist. Numbers are good for City Hall, etc. They like numbers, especially with a dollar sign. So, anyways, upcoming things that I can think of, June 2nd at 7, there's a storytelling event going to happen in the garden. It's Kate Turner, who is the she's Brooklyn's official folklorist. I'm not quite sure how that works, but she's found some profession. She's doing this all over Brooklyn this year, and we're one of the sites. It's a part of a storytelling festival, and it's traditional stories from people who have emigrated here. So I think she has one Trinidadian man coming and a couple other people from right around here, so it should be a interesting event. And then as soon as James Goldstein's back from his honeymoon, we'll schedule the Rat Chat with Caroline Bragdon and hopefully get...
Which storytelling event?
June 2nd.
What time?
7 p.m.
Okay.
And then we'll schedule the Rat thing, so that'll be posted on the list for... Did you have a question?
No.
Okay.
Okay,
other quick updates here. We don't have... Somebody want to give a compost update?
I don't think anyone's here except me, and I haven't... There really isn't much to say, except maybe I could just request approval to my sister, since the one we have is broken and isn't getting repaired, and we could just buy a nice, flat, large frame, and we can just do by hand.
Sure.
I don't think they're very expensive. I think it's under
$100. I think we can figure that out.
Do you think that's like okay? Do we need to get formal approval?
I think we should sit with the whole compost team and see what they want to do.
We started talking about it. I just thought we needed to get approval to spend the money and take care of that.
Up to $300 any coordinator can spend. So, yes.
Don't we have hardware costs? I'm not a builder, so I definitely I'm not going to do that. So and I would love it if someone created or fixed a picture, but that's not happening. So then I'd just like to buy one.
Part of that shame is on me, but
no shame. It's just that I can build things, and we need to assist, and so let's just buy a picture.
Right. Ruth Manning, Fox.
Well, quickly, we have 409 members who now are bargaining in their own files. And we have three additional members who are going to share several garments besides the dinner box this year. So we have a total of 7 people now bargaining their boxes.
7 additional people.
7
additional. Fantastic.
Great. That is awesome. Thank you.
Fantastic.
And if anybody else would like to share their box, if they feel like they'll be going away this summer and they won't be able to attend to it or by themselves, let me know and I'll get the next person to listen.
Great work there, Ruth.
That means that the share people have to do the box holder open hours too, right? Service hours, right? Or does that mean that?
We have just very quickly for everyone in the garden. There are two mechanisms of sharing these boxes. One is a formal share with the boxes. Very quickly, we have two mechanisms for sharing boxes in the garden. One is if someone who is a box holder feels that they cannot fully cultivate all of the 32 square feet of real estate which you were allotted, then the boxes actually, not physically, but split in half. One member gardens that half, one member gardens that the other half. Both of those members are required to do box holder requirements for membership. The other mechanism is kind of an informal mechanism where you can ask someone in the garden to kind of be your buddy. And or if you don't have any friends at all but you'd still like to have a buddy, Ruth will hook you up with the next person on the list. And that that mechanism, the only person that has the responsibility for that box is the primary steward of that box. So if that primary steward, you are the sharing person, and the primary steward becomes a scufflaw and does not do their allotted hours, and they lose the box, you as the sharing person in an informal share do not have any claim to that other than your position on the waiting list.
Awesome.
Thank you. Awesome. That is convoluted, yes.
I really know the difference between the two, because I'm one of the people that are going to be sharing the box.
That is something that you work out privately with Ruth Manning.
Okay.
Very good. Our box coordinator. Kind of the way we function is the coordinators take care of their little parts of the garden. I am merely here to facilitate any kind of grander administrative work that gets done. And we are a bottom-up organization so that we decide what we do, and then coordinators will steer the boat through what our decisions are. Just for those of you who are new and hoping to join and wishing to not join a traditional New York City top-down organization, we are not that. So, other updates. Virginia Webster with our annual plant sale. Oh my God.
Yes. Okay. Plant sale tomorrow, guys. Thanks to Rosemary, the vegetables got picked up and the flowers got picked up. Thank you, Rosemary. And we're gonna have a fabulous Mother's Day plant sale. And then you two will probably maybe show up later in this meeting. She is still going to be holding a one-day plant sale for the tsunami and earthquake victims. And I think it would be great if we all tried to show her that support. And any plants you have in your box, obviously, that you don't want, it donate to her to get to the plant sale. Because that's really important, because they're still really hurting.
When is Vicky doing her plant sale?
I don't know, because that's what I said. She got to, okay. I don't know yet. Oh, that happens soon.
She'll bring it up. We'll go to that.
Yeah. Where do you have it tomorrow? From dawn until dusk.
There you go. So come by during the daylight.
Yeah.
Is it all sorts of you? Master Gardener update.
Yes. Just one thing in general. I know we're all planting and have plant sale materials, but I'd like to say that the benches should be reserved for our butts and not for the plants. So that, because it's been an issue of sitting and having to sit in dirt because people are putting plants on the benches, and that's not really cool. So just try your best. If you do put a plant up there, try and dust it off and make sure that it's clean and get through with it so we don't have to sit in dirt. That's all.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay. Mara.
Brooklyn Urban Gardeners, a cohort came out of that. We were working with all the Washington Ave, WAFA, Washington Ave Project Heights, Association of Merchants to do street gardening. And we're having a workshop after the meeting today in the garden on container gardening. And one of the auto shop owners, Rohan, is going to bring some tires and want to make them into containers and work with lots of members. If you're interested in that, today.
Okay, the primary upshot of this meeting today, and we do realize that there are lots of gardening things that we need to address very quickly, most notably where we have gained some sunny real estate, both in the back where we had the storm-damaged mulberry that needed to be removed, and over just uphill of the water tanks here where also we had a storm-damaged mulberry that was removed. I'm betting we're not going to get that far today, but we will schedule our June meeting very quickly, so that it won't be too much time has gone by before we can really address these opportunities as a garden. Does that make some sense? In the meantime, in preparation for that meeting, come up with some good ideas so we have something to talk about, and again, come up with some good ideas about spending all this hard-earned cash we got so that we can do all this stuff. Maybe we can spend the cash doing that. Who knows? Anyways, so before we get, that's it as far as kind of nuts and bolts go. Demetrius Mills is the board president of the Brooklyn Queens Land Trust. I'll give you a brief thing for those of you who are new and aren't really initiated. The flurry of emails has gone out with all the attachments lately. We are a community garden. We are open public space, and the actual property upon which we are now sitting is owned by the Trust for Public Lands. In the actual language of the deed, it's in perpetuity that it would be open public space. So even if we failed or something all failed, this is not going to go away. The Trust for Public Land comes to places where there are open space that is in jeopardy, thank you very much, and they will purchase this land, and as part of their mission statement, they then set up a land trust, which will have that actual physical deed, the legal deed of the property conveyed to that land trust after TPL has set up that land trust, so that ongoing TPL doesn't have any more relationship with that, other than I think in our case they have the right of first refusal or something like that if it all goes bad. So like if it all goes bad, then TPL would be able to have the first shot at taking over the deed again. So that being said, the Trust for Public Land set up the Manhattan Land Trust, the Bronx Land Trust, and the Brooklyn Queens Land Trust. We are grouped in with Queens. There's five gardens in Queens. Seven gardens in Queens. So this year, the Brooklyn Queens. This year, the Trust for Public Land is hoping to get this deed off of their plate as it is and convey it to the Brooklyn Queens Land Trust at all. So here is Demetrius Mills to explain, and Irene Van Syke,
David Kratz,
and Dorothy Mills here to give us a quick explanation of the Brooklyn Queens Land Trust and then answer any questions that we have as a garden. Demetrius Mills, everyone.
Thanks for having us here. In case you don't know anything about Brooklyn Queens Land Trust, we are the stewards of 36 community gardens, hopefully 37 if you guys come aboard. We have 15 member boards. David is the vice president. Irene is the secretary. Our board is Ms. Georgie. Bylaws state that our garden fee. Georgie is a member of the board of gardens. We have an annual meeting once a year. We just had our annual meeting about a month ago where we elected six new board members. The sister garden right up the street, St. Mark, one seat, is part of our organization. I am a garden right across the street from my house, is part of our organization, House of Pool Gate. We steward 36 gardens, Prospect Heights, Park Slope, Clinton Hill, Fort Greene, Williamsburg, Bushwick, East New York, Wheatfield, Broadway, Queens, Jamaica, Canberra Heights, I think Corona. 29 in Brooklyn, 7 in Queens. We're an organization that has been together for 6 years or more. As John said, that back in, although he didn't say this, back in 1999, when there were this whole concept of taking back the space, selling the space off to the highest bidder, at that time Mayor Giuliani was the mayor at that time, and they identified a number of garden properties or fake the lots that they were going to put back on the auction block. Through protests from a number of gardeners, block associations, and in marches and stuff like that, they were saying, how dare you do that? We've been gardening. Our particular garden has been in existence for 45 years as a garden, and I'm not sure how long this one has been in existence, but a number of gardens have been in existence for 20, 30 years or more. And then using a garden and an open space. So they got together and Trust for Public Land and that Miller got together and with some garden groups and decided that we can help out. Trust for Public Land put up $3 million to buy their properties, to help save the gardens. And part of that process was to establish local land trusts. So that's how Brooklyn Queens Land Trust got established. Manhattan Land Trust got established, and Bronx Land Trust got established. Bronx has, I think, 16, 17 community gardens. Manhattan has 17 community gardens. Bette Midler has 64, 65 community gardens. The difference between Bette Midler's group and our group is that most people will tell you that those gardens are more like a commercial space, more sitting, more landscape space. Our gardens, community gardens, have the look and feel of the community. Ever how you want to do it, you're right. Any way you want this garden to be, you're right. That is allowed amongst the Trust of Public Land gardens. But also, part of the Trust of Public Land concept was is that we don't own community gardens. So we were going to help, we are going to help establish these local land trusts. And then hopefully, once those land trusts are established and then go out, that they can take over ownership of the garden. We are at that stage at that point in time. Unfortunately, Joanne Marsh, who's the representative of the Trust of Public Land, was supposed to be here today, but she called and said that she could not be here. But part of the concept was to convey the gardens to a land trust, and the land trust would manage and own the gardens. Absolutely nothing would change as far as you are concerned. If your garden becomes a part of Brooklyn Queens Land Trust, the same scenario that you have today with Trust of Public Land is the same scenario you would have tomorrow with Brooklyn Queens Land Trust. Brooklyn Queens Land Trust cannot sell, cannot develop, or do anything with these gardens. As in the Trust of Public Land, if the Trust of Public Land was to have a problem and they have to get the gardens back, the gardens go back to the city. The whole command is to convey all of the gardens over to a land trust. All right, and we have been identified as one of those land trusts. Now, we used to be part of Manhattan and the Bronx, but another group, Urban Garden Coalition, they established this group to help manage the Manhattan and the Bronx and supposedly Brooklyn, Queens. We decided that we wanted to go along. And why shouldn't we? We're the fourth largest city in the state, and also the largest borough in the five boroughs. So why can't Brooklyn stand alone? So that's what we decided to do. But in order to stand alone, we have to prove certain things to the Trust of Public Land. That we would be financially sustainable. That we would have an organization that had regular meetings, that had a board, and that would maintain the properties as they are today. What do we do for the gardens that we have in play today? We provide insurance, liability insurance for all of the gardens. We provide for water costs for all of the gardens. The water cost for a garden is 40 cents a day, whether you use the water or not, right? And then there's a turn-on that we have with the city. We have water system here. We have rainwater. 24 of our gardens have water systems from the Department of Environmental Protection, DEP. The other gardens get water from the hydrants. Some of our gardens have rainwater harvesting systems and regular running water. We go out and get the water permits for all of our gardens so that they can use the fire. The only thing that goes wrong with that is that when you're using the fire hydrant, it's only to use it for the garden, not to wash your car, not to have a car wash, or anything like that. But that's all part of that process. But the whole water system concept costs us about $7,000 a year that we pay for all of our gardens. The insurance costs us about $1,300 a year, and all of our gardens are insured, liability insurance. What is liability insurance? In case someone came in here and fell down, broke a leg, broke an arm, broke anything, and wanted to sue, you are covered, all right, through the insurance that we have. Also, we raise funds. And how do we get funds? There's no magic person that walks by and throws in $1,000 if you have it. We write grants. We get $25,000 for the next 2 years from Trust Republic Land. We get somewhere around $22,000 a year from Abbey Mosaic, which is a Rockefeller Foundation for community gardens. We get assistance from Land Trust Alliance, which is a national alliance group that give us, for the last 2 years, well, really the last 3 years, they've given us over $38,000. This year they've given us $15,000 for capacity building. Capacity building and financial assistance in the sense that we have a board that are elected by the gardeners. Okay, the gardeners, there's every garden has a garden representative. That representative comes to the meeting and votes on issues that affect the garden. So, when we have our annual meeting and we select the board members, the gardener's rep is the one that votes for that board member. So I was voted in March. This is my second year as president of the organization. It is one of the most difficult jobs there is. I'm retired from J.P. Morgan Chase. I work harder now than I did when I was working. That's because we have 37 functioning community funds that do great work for the community that they're in. But they all are different. They all work and do whatever that community wants them to do. We do not go in and say, well, you have to do this, you have to do that. No. Your community, this is Prospect Heights. This is how Prospect Heights runs. We have gardens in Spanish neighborhoods that have, what's the word?
Casitas
in them. We have gardens that have chickens in them. We have gardens that have bringing that up, we provide for service to, if there's a rat problem, we provide for the service to come in and try to help eliminate that problem. But there was a garden that had goats in them. And I said, the bylaws state that we don't have animals in the garden. He said, well, we have goats in our garden. And I said, the bylaws state that you don't have goats in the garden, animals in the garden. He said, but we have goats in our garden. I said, okay. Let me leave that alone. So, as long as the community does not complain, as long as the people are happy, and he was talking about how it inspired the children from the schools to come by and see those goats, who am I to tell them that he can't have his goats in his garden? Right? If the Department of Health came in and said he couldn't have goats in his garden, that's a different story. Alright? So, that's kind of where we is. We get money also from our local politicians. Fellow at Montgomery gave us $10,000 through grants. Patricia James, $4,200. Al Fan, $7,000. We asked for an additional, we asked that all of our local politicians that have gardens in there to support the gardens. And how do you support the gardens? Money. Give us money. You want our votes? We need your help. We cannot run these gardens on volunteering alone. We know that. We know it takes funds to do this, right? Right now, we have about $70,000 in the bank that we use to what? To run an office that we have on Lafayette, 677 Lafayette Magnolia Street, which is the building. We have office spaces that we have to cover. We have internet service, telephone service, training, all those kinds of things in order to run an organization is what we pay for. One of the things that we tried to do in the last couple of years is to be more open to the public, open to the people that we serve. And by doing that is that we have monthly board meetings. They've always had monthly board meetings. They've always had monthly operations meetings. We had an operations meeting this morning at our garden. And the wintertime, and if I'm talking too much, raise your hand so I can take a breath. But I want to make sure that you understand who we are, right? We have an operation meeting this morning at one of our gardens, and we left that meeting and we came here. Once a month, we go to the gardens to have that operations meeting. I would love to have an operation meeting in this garden in August or September. Up to you, but I would love to do that. That's where we come out, board members and gardeners come out, and you hear even more what's going on with the organization. Or an opportunity to vent your frustration or whatever that you're having. We are your advocates. What I did bring with me was our last annual meeting and annual report. I apologize for not bringing enough for everybody, but if you can share and this, it basically has the whole scenario of our annual meeting, our budget, our funds. This is from 2010. It will be here before. Last year's annual meeting.
I think you already sent that.
Yes, I did. But for those of you who would like to know, and on the back side, on the last page, it has frequent asked questions about who we are. What happens if Prospect Farms become a part of Brooklyn Queens Ranch? What does it mean to you? We hope we answer that question. And we have a website, www.bqlt, Brooklyn Queens Land Trust, .org. That website has just been developed since October. Very nice website. We have all our gardens and information about the gardens and history of the gardens. We would love to make you a part of that. And I do want to apologize if we stepped on anyone's toes by adding Prospect Farms to our list of gardens. When we had an annual meeting in order for a garden to be part of an organization, but gardeners have to accept the new property. So before we can even think about bringing on a new garden as part of the organization, we have to get permission from the gardeners to say this is okay. So there was three gardens that came about this year. Prospect Farms, Concerned Citizen of Grove Street, which is in Broadway, and Canberra Heights Community Garden, which is out in Canberra Heights, Queens. We had a vote, and they voted to accept you in support of our organization. I stated that you are part of our organization. No disrespect whatsoever. We are the stewards. We're here to help you. We want you to become part of us. We are truly a bigger, better organization as a larger group. Diversity is the thing that we claim, and we are in diverse communities and diverse neighborhoods. We are here for you, and we want you to be a part of it. I'm done. I'm sure you're glad of that. If there's any questions, open up, ask me whatever you feel like. You can ask me how old I am or anything like that. Whatever makes you feel good, ask the question. Because we're here to give you the information. And one of the things that I said, we've met with John a couple times. I've met with John.
Hello, everybody.
And I basically said and stated it that if you want to know anything about Brooklyn Queens Land Trust, ask Brooklyn Queens Land Trust. Don't ask other people about something. You're getting it from wherever. We're here to give you whatever information it is that you need. And another one of our board members just arrived, John Sloss. He's from the Clifton Place. Every one of us is associated with a garden. St. Mark, Benton, Gates Park, Clifton Pool Gate, and Clifton Place over here. And again, my wife is part of the class. And I'm also the Black Association president. I'm also with the 79th Precinct. I do a lot of things. So, there you go. Any questions?
When are they planning on conveying these seeds?
We're on schedule to convey the properties June, July. We met with the lawyer. There's something I forgot to mention. We meet with TPL every month discussing this whole concept, financial sustainability and all of this stuff. We met with the lawyer Thursday night at our board meeting. We have our board meeting the first Thursday of the month. And I'm going to apologize if you want to take this paper, the ink is not... the ink that stays put, the ink that stays with water, so I apologize for that. Seems like, It seems that the way the companies are working now, they want you to keep using more and more. But we met with a lawyer, and we're going to go into contract. We're hoping that we can close this deal as soon as possible. Now, what does that mean? For $1, the property will be turned over to an NHS. There's no taxes on the property at all. If anything happens to us, put the things in NHS as an organization. If we can't function 5 years from now, 2 years from now, this property goes back to trust for public land. Right? They have first right of refusal. If for some reason, this garden shut down, this particular garden right here, just shut down without whatever. People just got upset and I'm not coming back here anymore, whatever.
People get upset all the time. Right. That's what we do.
Property would go back to the trust for public land. Alright? And if trust for public land says we can't handle it, it goes back to New York City. Into three. That's my life, your life, and the next life, and the life, and the life, and the life, and the life after that. This will always be open space, always be a community property. Okay?
Any other comments?
Any other questions?
Well, I guess I had a question, because I was one of the people that had their feathers quite ruffled. And I certainly understand the procedural vote that had to occur because our organization functions the same way. There's certain things that we can only do at our annual meeting. So that really wasn't a problem for me. I guess, and I don't think that I'm by myself here, but if I am, that's good. I guess the decision to put out a press release after that, which had already claimed us as something under your stewardship, that doesn't jive up with all the good fuzzy talk about we're all this and we're all that. That jives up with, you know, you're under our stewardship, that's it, you don't have a choice, you don't have a thought, you know, why? It jives up for me with why are we bothering if, you know, you're... To put out a press release and tell everybody that we're under that without even talking to us yet just seems a little aggressive. And certainly aggressive in the light of who we are, you know, as just trying to curb our aggressions and work together here. So
the,
it seems a little forward.
The press release was only for the gardeners of the 37 gardens that hold on. We did meet with you about a month and a half before.
That's true, the governing body.
And we asked that you did that you send representatives to the annual meeting so that we would be able to have a voice for yourself. Again, there was this, we cannot tell you what to do even when somebody has come along. It's like CPL doesn't come and tell you what to do. Right? That doesn't change. Right? As I said, I apologize for putting that out without, there was a vote, basically it was a procedural vote, and we were letting everybody know this is what the procedural vote was. That's as far as that goes. We still, to this day, have no jurisdiction over you or any other garden other than acting as a go-between.
It seems to me that CPL is transferring the deed to this garden to DQLC, right?
Yes.
So we don't really have a choice in there. Okay.
In conversations that I've had with Joanne, and I've put these emails out, that they're, Joanne said that we were not going to be forced to be pushed into any land trust that we did not vote that we wanted to be a part of. There are other organizations that are coming together and probably incorporating as we speak to create another land trust that is an option for us that we will explore at the next meeting and hear what they have to say about who they are. And so whereas the deeds will be conveyed, the conversations that I've had with Joanne was that we would not be conveyed anywhere without our consent. So...
that was an option that you could go with another land trust?
She has talked with the people that are putting together the other land trust, and she has not said that it's not an option. she has said that she is incredibly focused on this right now and wishes to get this done and then deal with the following, is what she has said to them. So I'm not here to make any decisions. I'm just here to get the information so that we can make decisions. But that, those were all those emails that got sent out. So we are not, according to Joanne, we are not to be placed anywhere without our consent as a garden. So, and I think that that was part of the reason why I had such a kind of head back reaction to that, because it reeks of a lot of other stuff. It reeks of like, oh, well, doesn't, you know, if it's getting conveyed, it's getting conveyed. Why are we all here, you know, spending our Saturday afternoon chatting about it? So,
and we don't have any control of that.
Right.
We don't have any control of that, other than the fact that they set up these land trusts to do this. One of the things is that, as I said to you, is that we would be better, stronger as one unit, as one group. And I would like to know, is there a reason why you wouldn't want to be part of our land trust? And, you know, when we're thinking about it, what's the difference between one as opposed to the other? The agreements that you might have, I would suggest to...
Are you still fighting? I went to this one all-day thing, and I'm actually still traumatized from it. I've never heard screaming like that in my life.
What friend was this?
2 years ago?
No, I'll put it this way. It was an annual meeting about... It was a coup of an annual meeting before I got involved, and so about 4 years ago, there was an annual meeting. We had an annual meeting this past March that lasted 5 hours. That was, they say, one of the best annual meetings that we've ever had. We are not fighting. We are a group that is together. We are a group that is diverse in leadership and in directors. There's always going to be differences.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be differences. Even within the gardens, there are differences. So, we try our best to have some of those differences. You are welcome to come to any board meeting and sit in and listen. You're welcome to come to any operations meeting and to sit in and see that.
Are there any board members that have been?
Yes. There are two board members that are still on the board that I think have been on the board now for maybe 6 years or so. All right? But most of the board members, I've been on the board for 4 years. Right? So this fight was way before my time. I served as first just a board member, just observing. Then I served as the secretary of the board, and then I was asked to run for president, and I did, and won. So this is my second year as being president of the board. We've made great strides. We've done a lot of good work. We're getting our local politicians involved and giving us money, which is truly a blessing. We've asked this year, every year you have to ask for the council people to give you money. And we've asked for somewhere about $40,000 for various council members. And we think we're going to have a good chance of getting half of that, if not all of it. We're out there. We really be out there. We're pushing. We ask that our gardeners, yeah, we have fundraisers, that board members are asked to give $100 each out of their pocket. Gardeners are asked to give $50 out of their pockets. The reason that being is that when you go to funders and ask them for money, they ask, how much money do you raise yourselves from your organization? So we're able to do that. We go to conferences. We went to Land Trust Alliance Conference in Connecticut. We went to Land Trust Alliance Conference in West Point. We went to the American Community Gardens Conference in
going to be a conference coming up in August that we're going to play a part of. So we're out there pushing. Every time I see a politician and I say, what's your name? And if I know him, I say, we got three guns in your district. You need some help. How can we help? How can you help me? You need funds to help build a gate, to help build boxes, to help get soil, to help with whatever, get a water system in, the rainwater hospital system. We went over to the Department of Environment Protection and spoke to the commissioner, and I said, we pay for water. Why can't the gardens get the water for free? And he said, well, we'll talk about it. And the first thing he asked, do you have rainwater hospital systems? I said, some of them do and some of them don't. And he said, well, maybe you need that. I said, well, can you help us get some in? So we're looking at that. Maybe there's possibility that they can come in and help us do that.
Yes. Yes, we have questions. Well, I just had a question. I mean, I know there are always differences within groups among people. So are you saying there are no, like, deep divisions or philosophical differences about, like, the direction and goals of the land trust?
Maybe I can speak to that a little bit. Okay. My name is David Pratt. I live on Vanderbilt Avenue. I've been there since 1995, I guess. I'm a co-coordinator of the other little garden over here. I was a gardener in a public that garden, which means I was garbage and sold it somewhere. And last year, somebody asked me to join the board of the EQLG, and I agreed, not knowing a lot about it, actually. Like many gardeners, it was like GPL, EQLG, what are all those things? My wife calls it the BLT. We're going to another BLT meeting. But last year I joined, and I was quite interested because my work life has involved working for grassroots organizations, and in particular for organizations that are trying to attain greater democracy within their overall body and accountability. So I was kind of very interested when I joined the board to see how does this organization function in terms of standards of accountability and sort of, you know, people working together and not letting fights overtake the organization as opposed to, you know, good work. And I've been quite impressed, and I consider myself quite a critic of organizations that aren't able to get work done. So I think in answer to some of the questions about infighting and so on, the answer is no. I mean, as you know from your garden, there are differences of opinion. But are those differences of opinion allowed to derail the direction of the organization? Are they allowed to derail the good work of supporting the gardens? And the answer that I found is no. I mean, unfortunately, I think some people had a bad experience some years ago before my time. And to be honest, I think that some of those people are involved in the split organization. To be totally blunt, I think the Mises is going to be more diplomatic, but to be blunt, I think there are people with a historical relationship to this effort who are living in the past. And that's unfortunate, because the political reality that faces us is that we need to be united. Whether that means we're all in one organization or not, maybe it doesn't matter. But defending the gardens and proposing and putting forward the idea of community gardening into the future, I think we need some level of unity. And coming out of this process, the TPL wants to, whoever they are, you know, if they want to say, the gardens, we want to give them to you, well, let's have an organization that represents as many gardens, is accountable, and is united as opposed to fractured. So that's kind of been my point of departure with this thing, and my 1 year experience, although I've been a gardener many, many years, with this organization. I think it's on the right track. I think they're doing a great job. So maybe that gets on some of these questions about fighting and, some of the problems.
And if John, could you just say something? Because you just got on the board.
Yeah, I've been a member of the board since the annual meeting. I come from a corporate background. This is my first nonprofit experience. And we had our board meeting earlier this week was a 3-hour meeting, and there was disagreement. I was very pleased with how productive the board is and how we work together to get our work done. We allowed discussion. we allow people to express their opinion, but in the end, the board is dedicated to getting the job done and rejecting everything we need to, all the business was done. And it was done in an efficient manner, and yet we incorporated discussion from people as well. So I think I'm very pleasantly surprised to come to work a 10-hour day in corporate America and then come to a place where people are passionate about what they do because they enjoy it. And I think it's just it's very nice.
I joined the organization way back when it was formed in 2004, and I was never on the board, but I just started going to the meetings, and I know about some of the schisms and problems, but the fact of the matter is that Brooklyn Queens Land Trust, the way it's structured, is that the gardeners have to be the majority of the board, and that is what connects people, is it's a gardener-led organization. And so people are united around that. You know, they might differ on this, that, and the other thing, but they all know how a community garden works and what goes into it. Some of the board members who are what we call resource people because they have some skill, they don't always know what goes on in the gardens and what makes them work and what doesn't make them work. So we always have to educate those board members that we have because of their skills or connections. But since we are in the majority rules, and that is the gardener's interest. And that's why I'm got on the board. And, you know, it's my second year, so.
And if I could just give you a brief history, I was born and raised in North Carolina on a farm. We're farmers still today. So by nature, I'm back to what I was raised to do. I hated it when I was doing it because it was a lot of hard work. 40 years later, I'm back into this, and my family laughed at me because she left North Carolina to go to New York to farm. But I'm committed. I'm committed to the effort that we do. I'm committed to the people that we work for. When we had a 5-hour annual meeting, everybody that had a question asked their question. Everybody that had a grievance got their grievance addressed. We do not try to sit and say, you can't say anything, you can't say anything, you can't say. It was 5 hours because we wanted everybody to be listened to and heard. And again, I was impressed with what's going on. I'm a computer programmer by nature. But God decided that he wanted me to do something else. And right now I'm happy with it. So I would happily be here to serve you if you want us to serve you.
As somebody, I'm fighting for the
I'm impressed with how far we've gotten here, and I think think that this organization is on the verge of taking it to the next level. I do say don't think of us as partners. Think of us as an independent business. This is a business that we're into. And this is an opportunity for us to continue to serve the community. And as people walk by and look in awe, like, well, what's that? What are they doing in there? And it makes me feel good. But at the same time, we have to figure out how to get more people to come in and produce. Help produce. We have to learn how to teach the children to come into the garden and be a part. And that's one of the things that we're really pushing now, is to get the youth into the garden. You don't have to hang out on the street. Come into the garden, learn how to grow food, learn how to eat the best food. This is what a tomato looks like. This is where it came from. This is what a cucumber looks like. Not what it looks like in a grocery store. This is what it looks like in the garden. So, what we do.
Do you have any other questions? Tracy?
I got a couple, but it's short. If we do join EQLP, what is our commitment to EQLP? Do we have to attend every, presumably there's a representative, does that representative have to attend every meeting? How many meetings do we have to attend to be in good standing with EQLP?
I wish that every garden sent a rep to the operations meeting. We don't have it. We don't force anybody to come to meetings. So some people say, you know what? I work all week. I don't have time to go to meetings. I hate meetings. We respect that. But we get the information out to you. Some of you are on the BQLT email list. I have tried to send to Prophet Arms and I haven't been able to do that. But we try to get as much information out. When we have a meeting like this, although we're not taking any minutes here at this meeting, this is your meeting, we send those out to the community for those that couldn't get there. Some individual that hasn't even been through a meeting says that he looks forward to our operation meeting then. And I'm like, why don't you come to the meeting? Please come to the meeting. So sometimes the only time we get something to come to the meeting is when we take the meeting to the market. So there's no commitment as to that you have to be at every meeting, you have to be at least three meetings, we're going to punish it, we're going to, no, there's no commitment whatsoever.
Alrighty. Then are gardens required to do fundraisers for BQLP? All the member gardens required to do that.
There is a fee of $50 per garden.
Annual.
Yeah.
The money you raise is for your garden.
Okay.
Alright. We stay out of that business. We're not into what you're doing with your money. As long as it's legal and as long as if you're a 501(c). You know what the rules are and regulations for that. We are a 501(c) company. You have to file a 990. You have to file a form of 500. We have to get 1099s out when we pay people to do work for us. So we have enough trouble controlling our own money, so we're not trying to control anything.
Are you a
501(c)(3)? We're a officially sponsored project of the Open Space Institute, so essentially we have the benefits of being a 501(c)(3), but we're underneath a fiscal, what do they call it, an umbrella.
It's a fiscal
sponsorship. Yeah.
And we can do that, and we do that for some of our gardens. Okay. We can do that for some of the gardens.
And they also, since this goes back to the press release and you all adopting us, we also sent out in that email another email that you registered the gardens till 2014 with Green Thumb and that you got the water permit. So did you assume that we were part of your group and did you do that for us already too?
We haven't gotten the water permit at all.
Okay.
All right. But I usually go down. What they will do is they will take a letter from BQLC. And within an hour, generate water permits for all of our gardens, once we give them that letter. What we do with Green Thumb and New York Cares, Green Bridge, is that we say that instead of every garden having to come down and register, and you take a letter from us stating what the gardens are, and we register those gardens. Green Thumb says that it's fine. So all of our gardens are registered with Green Thumb.
This
garden is registered with Green Thumb.
That we were part of being registered as well.
You're registered with Green Thumb. You're registered with Green Thumb. You've always been registered with Green Spirit anyway. So it was any of the additional gardens that wasn't on the list. If you already registered, there was nothing. It's those that was on that was not on the list was registered with Green Thumb. We went about doing this. Now, as I say, if you don't want to be a part, we can we will address that in the right and proper way. I apologize for that. That newsletter didn't make anybody do anything. I'll tell you that. And again, it was just letting you know who the board members were, who was elected, and what other guys were part of the organization.
Okay.
You find that having this many gardens is actually unwieldy as an organization, and that some of it, especially teams, I know that, like, when I have to get to teams, it takes an hour and a half from here, you know, and that I can't imagine that people from teams are traveling to Brooklyn, I think they're going to be on my car frequently, and I kind of wonder if your organization actually... You have all these gardens, but do they really participate in our actual, you know, is every, you've got 37 participating gardens, and you've got 20 participating gardens.
We have one of the guys on the operation committee is out of Jamaica Queens. He comes to every meeting. Board meeting, operations meeting. If I call in tomorrow, if it's called.
Is that number unwieldy?
Nothing.
Okay.
Well, and, you know, just to even answer that, we have calls from two additional gardens in Queens asking, can they come on board? How can they come on board? So you have an organization that is trying to give us their property so that they can become a garden. But again, we can't accept that property unless the membership says that it's okay.
Can I just ask you, what is the benefit of a larger organization versus maybe a small one?
And that is that one of the gardens in Queens was being encroached upon by a developer. Apparently, he could build higher if he could claim that the community garden was part of his open space. And so this issue came before the community board, and Demetrius was able to represent Brooklyn Queens Planters to say, we represent a whole group of community gardens. This is an encroachment of open space that cannot be done. And was able to convince the local politicians to join in. And I don't know if it's been resolved.
Yes, they're not doing it. We had to take it to the community board. We had to go to the former president of Queens and say our case. And basically, they're not going to city planning. They're not going to build right up to that garden. Because one of the things we were talking about, the sunlight, the air rights and all that kind of stuff, how that would affect. So last week, I was in Queens. We were at a meeting in Brooklyn, and then we had to go out to Queens to visit the garden.
If you ask me, you know, is it a problem? Of course it's a problem, because it costs gas and all that kind of stuff. But when you think about what you own for the good of the organization,
you have to do it.
If you call me tomorrow and say, we have an issue, we're coming up with some of this issue. It might be an issue with a business.
There was an issue with the police that I had to go and say, oh, look, you got to respect the garden. You got to respect the garden. You just don't have a right to just come in and go guard these gardens. Because it is a lot. It's a lot of a lot for these people here. No, we're part of an organization, and we demand respect. And we get that respect. And so that is the same thing that we will continue to do. And we're going to continue to do it for you, whether you're there or not. Because as part of the New York Coalition, and what it's trying to do is save those gardens, saving people and all that kind of stuff. It's not just them by themselves. And it's all of us are out there trying to save. You know, we could say, very well, we don't have to go to that meeting. You know, we're safe. We don't have to give it all, but we have to be a part. We have to be a part of that. Yes.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you. I guess very quickly, I will address why we wouldn't want to be part of BPLC. You asked that before, and then we got into other things. And I think for me, it's not a question of that. It's just a question of if there's a decision to be made, I would be remiss as an administrator and not exploring all the topics. So it's nothing about that. It's just, you know, if there are options, popular as these long meetings are making me, I would be remiss in doing that in my responsibility.
You cannot build a community unless you have meetings.
It's true. It's true.
I have a meeting every day and every night this week.
My condolences. So anyway,
and I make a call.
Right.
I feel a weird thing, but we have to do this.
So, thank you very much for explaining your organization to us. We are kind of at the end of our meeting, so I will say very quickly that any new members or anyone who wishes to pay dues, please come. Yes, please come talk to me in the absence of our treasury department today. We'll make sure the fine folks over there get the money. Tracy, what? Oh my God, no. We have a couple of, I'm sorry, I was pushing through to not take up some time here. We have a couple of quick announcements which will require putting our hands together. The first of which is that Tracy Nottingham has recently become a registered and licensed architect.
I was working on
Jane Taylor has successfully had a child. Almost 10 weeks of living, nice, and James Goldstein's on his honeymoon, hopefully working on that. Carl.
Yes. Basically why I'm here is I want to know why the tree was cut down.
Okay, we can certainly address
that.
Take
the meeting time to handle that, though.
Yes.
Why not?
No. Many meetings that a decision was made, and I personally don't want to hear the rehash of it, so John, if you want to comment on it privately, I don't think it's fair to require a call to sit through.
Why was the tree cut down in the garden?
I will give a very quick answer and then I will explain it to you. We had a tornado. Here. That tree got extremely damaged and that tree got extremely damaged.
Okay.
And that was when the decision was made that it was unsafe. I will explain this to you completely after this meeting.
So the tree was unsafe in terms of falling off somebody?
Yes. The tornado ripped right through here, split that tree right now. Okay. Folks, the next garden meeting is going to be in June, the very beginning of said month. Unless you guys wanted... Okay, new members and people wishing to pay dues, come see me. New members will see me and then see Tracy. Our meeting.
How much is it?
Our
meeting. Next meeting.
Our next meeting.
Here's the calendar.
How about we have it so that we can actually get some garden business done at the end of this month? On May 28th.
No, that's Memorial Day.
That's Memorial Day. Never mind. Can we all do a meeting on the 21st to get some ideas and votings going about the back on the side? I think that's good. It's 2 weeks from today. At 11 a.m. That is not the solstice.
That's right. All right.
Sorry. Okay. I can do that.
John, here's from Martian.
Okay.
Wait, stop.
Okay, hang on.
Everybody stop.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.
Very much.